I think my whole life changed once I realized that I could create and sell my own products online. It's like I could create a one-man marketing machine that ran without me once I set it up, which was so different to the day jobs and freelance work that I had been doing up to that point. My real success came when I was able to sell the products that I wanted to sell. It all started with private label products on Amazon and continues to this day. I feel everyone has a potential business inside them. Starting a real business isn't a walk in the park, and private labeling is no exception. But for a person with dedication, determination, and a modest amount of capital, this could be the business that makes all the difference for that person. It certainly was for me. I want you to create your business, and there are so many benefits to it. I describe exactly how you can do it in the 10 Steps to Building Your Own Private Label Business Guide. There are no strings attached. Just get it for free at amazingfba.com/build. That's amazing, F for Freddy, B for Bertie, A for Alpha, .com/BUILD. That's amazingfba.com/build.
I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. Welcome to Amazing FBA. This episode is brought to you by the Private Label Process, the course that we just created, which is launching on the 19th of November. Good news, if you like free stuff and you like good stuff at the same time, the Private Label Process has a contest on until the 18th of November, midnight UK time. So what is on offer? It's simple. The Private Label Process online course, which takes you A to Z, soup to nuts, zero to hero, from know nothing to launched with your first private label product within 6 months. Of course, if you have a full-time job and children, or a full-time job and a property empire to run or whatever else, it'll probably take you a few more months. Let's be real, but you could certainly do it in less as well. That's worth £395 or $500, and that's what it's going on sale for when it launches. And I will give that to you absolutely for free to the lucky winner of the contest. So to enter the contest, you just need to do two things. Number one, go to amazingfba.com/contest. That's amazing, F for Freddy, B for Bertie, A for Alpha, .com/contest. And the second step is you give your first name, email address, and just answer the simple question, which is, what's the biggest barrier to you getting launched with a private label product? And once you do that, you're entered for the contest. We will choose a winner on the 19th of November and announce that to you via email, and we'll announce it on the podcast and everything else as well. So very easy, no-brainer. I would have thought if you're in any way late interested, unless you've already doing tens of thousands, in which case you might want to join the 10K Collective, in which case go to amazingfba.com/10K. But if you're not and you want to be, then this course is for you. And if you can get it for free, why would you not? So get yourself over to amazingfba.com/contest and you can enter there and get an absolutely free course. Amazing. So on with the show. Welcome to Amazing FBA, folks. I'm very in energized mood at the moment because I've just nearly finished. We're just about to record the last module for the PLP course, which is then going off to our trusty VA, Gary, to edit down into the bite-sized chunks that we create in the lessons of the Private Label Process course. So I thought I'd just share some insights with you. It's all about private label training anyway, but because my mind's in it, I might as well share some of the insights with you that I share with my mentoring clients. And I've, in fact, until this point, really only shared this kind of detail. No, I wasn't trying to hide it from anyone, but just hadn't really formulated it enough to share with anyone except my mentoring clients who pay either £300 or £500 a month, depending which package they choose to work with me. So that's, you know, $400 to $600 range. So quite a lot of money for this kind of insight. And that's because it really makes a difference. Now, there's no substitute for one-to-one tailored work. If that interests you, by the way, go to amazingfba.com/mentoring, MENTORING. I do have some slots available, but I'm pretty busy with the course, so not many. So let's get into this, because this is about the whole question of niche research. How do I find what product to sell? That's overwhelmingly the feedback I get from clients when I ask them, or from listeners or followers, genuinely people that interact with me in the Facebook group. By the way, if you're not in the Facebook group, it's free, amazingfba.com/FBF, as in face, B as in book. But I constantly get that theme. Now, for the PLP contest, and if you haven't checked that out yet, you can get a free copy of the PLP course, or rather, it's an online video course, so you only get a physical copy. You get free access for life. If you want to enter that, amazingfba.com/contest. Sorry, there seems to be a lot of URLs I'm throwing at you, a lot of web addresses. But one of the things I'm doing there is I'm asking, as part of the entry, is just simply name, email, and what is your biggest barrier to getting going with your Amazon course. And it's interesting because I've only got the entries are starting to come in, and I'm seeing quite a pattern again reinforcing, which is, I don't know what to sell or how do I find that. So let's get into that question. And actually, in a way, the question implies the problem, as Steve Covey says, and we've been doing a mindset series. We'll certainly be carrying on with that, although I've put that on pause just for now because the PLP course is very intensive to produce and get out there. But basically, the way you frame the problem is the problem often, and I think that is often the case with so-called product research. So let's get into sharing a little taster of some of the content that we have within the actual PLP course itself, give you a bit of a flavor. So this is... Once we've got through the first, this is it's based in phases, the PLP course. If you want to learn more about it, go to amazingfba.com/PLP. P for Peter, L for Lima, P for Peter, stands for private label process, right? But one of the main things is we go in phases and stages of learning and development. The first time we then get to really thinking about creating private label products is in what we call phase one, or the assess phase. So within each phase, we have basically a cycle of three action steps and then a learning step, which is the niche research of finding out what people want, the sourcing, mostly in China, but it could be anywhere, going and getting it, you know, finding out what's out there, negotiating on prices, getting a good product quality for an affordable price. That means it's profitable, right? Basically. And then listing and launching. So we create a product listing in Amazon, ship the stuff into Amazon, and that's all part of the sourcing process. How do you ship stuff across the world? And or even across the country can be just as difficult sometimes. And then finally, not least, we launch it by getting traffic to your listing. So if you struggle with the first part, you get the niche research wrong, then the launch is going to be a damp squib. And people sense this and they're right, but they get stuck on the product research thing. So I would encourage you, if you're learning a course like the PLP course or any other course that you're following, to get into the habit of learning just in time, not just in case, as Tim Ferriss quoted, but I'm sure somebody else came up with that. So that's a very important habit. So I want you to go away from this podcast and take some action. And if you want a downloadable PDF, we'll make that available at the blog. This will be amazingfba.com/286, I think. So just go check that out at the blog. And that's amazingfba.com/blog. And you'll find that we have a free downloadable PDF, because I want you to go away and take action of this, because that will serve you better. So the first part of step one, which is to find out, decide a niche, is the pick, or product idea creation. It's no coincidence that I've used the word pick, because that is actually short for picture, in case you've been living under a rock. And actually Instagram and Facebook and other places like that are places people get obsessed if they're sellers with trying to use the sales channels. And yeah, that is a great plan. But even before you do that, you should be using them as research channels. And this is one of the differences, I think, between what we're trying to get people to do and the traditional approach. Everyone goes straight to Amazon and starts running Jungle Scout. I think that's the biggest mistake. You need to use the old, the old necktop computer. Obviously, mine is malfunctioning today, versus the laptop computer. If you put all your faith in a computer and you ditch your human attributes of imagination and human understanding and being like a human being who buys products for human usage, then you're ditching the thing that you have to offer. Let us understand clearly, there is a war between human and machine. And not a war exactly, but there is a tussle, competition. If you abdicate your birthright as a human being of using imagination and empathy, you're handing over to the machines, who will always crunch data better than you. If you abdicate your birthright as a Westerner who understands Western mindset and buying in the West, and obviously one could sell into China, and that's a different issue, but I'm talking about the traditional way of selling into the USA or European markets, or even Australia, Japan, again, is a different kettle of fish. But look, you're English or American or European or whatever, mostly. Nothing against anyone from anywhere else, by the way. But the point is, you understand those markets and the mentality of the people. Again, don't give away your birthright by being mechanistic and product-centered. The Chinese center should be product-centered. The Chinese factories should be product-centered, because that's what they do. They manufacture products. They will always beat you in that game. Computers crunch numbers. They will always beat you in that game. So whilst we have to interact with computers and crunch numbers and understand them, and whilst we have to interact with the suppliers who produce products, our starting point and our end point, I truly believe, should be that you understand people. So the first thing you do before you start worrying about products on Amazon is get ideas for products off Amazon, and you need to start with people. Okay, so the niche research method, otherwise known as the mark product research, and as I said, product-centered thinking is a problem, basically consists of two phases. One is where you generate product ideas, a pick, and then you come up with a ton of possible keywords. And then at that point, yes, you can leap on Amazon, start running Jungle Scout or Helium 10 or Viral Launch, whatever your favorite tool is. And that's when you eliminate the ideas you've got down to the ones that actually look practical. So you come up with a strong niche market. But everyone gets obsessed with the tools, like it's going to give them the answer to everything, and it isn't. That is not the point. Differentiation is the name of the game. And it's not just about differentiated products, but a differentiated approach from the get-go, from the beginning. And this is what I'm really passionately advocating. If you get this, this is not just theory, by the way. All the serious sellers that I know are really getting more in the 10K Collective, and you know the masterminds that I run with the serious sellers that are doing millions a year are obsessed with creating a brand. And that's about connecting to a set of people and creating a set of values and a look and a feel, which isn't about just the Amazon data. It goes way beyond that. So let me just share with you then the next thing. I'm going to share with you the product idea creation ideas that we have in this sheet here. So this is part of the PLP course, and we will give it to you for free if you download it from amazingfba.com/286. If I've got that wrong, then just look for one of the latest episodes. I haven't double checked the numbers. I get confused myself because we've produced so many episodes now. So the first thing is start with a PAP, a person and a pain, right? You're aiming to find unfiltered ideas to identify possible hungry markets for products, right? Stop trying to go straight for the definite win. If you try and do things quickly and superficially, you lose, because there are other people that out there crunching data and they're using computers for that, probably pretty strongly, or software. And yes, you should use those tools. But you'll never win if you're just obsessed with going straight for the answer. Superficial work won't work. You need to start with a person and a pain. And if in doubt, start with yourself. Hobbies. For example, I love my music. It was also a profession for me, but I'm also into yoga. So you could think, okay, yoga mat, one of these strange things. If you're watching the video version of this, this is some kind of stretchy band that my wife seems, I come in and find my wife pulling in the evening, which has something to do with Pilates or yoga. By the way, I'm not suggesting you go into yoga mats. That's a terrible idea, but you get the idea. You start with hobbies. And by the way, don't filter first. Start with a ton of unfiltered ideas. Just brainstorm. Or as one of my business consulting coaches used to say, Peter Thompson, say, just throw up on paper, which is pretty grim, but you get the idea. So just let it all out. What other hobbies do I have? I go running. There's lots you could sell around that. Some cool tech about heart rate monitoring, I guess. If you really wanted to go for electronics, you could sell shoes. If you want to compete with Nike, yeah, sure, those are terrible ideas. But I might go, okay, shoes, that's a terrible idea. But what about light up laces? Okay, that's a little bit more interesting. What about light up laces for Halloween that have kind of goblins on the end? Okay, then we're starting to get into strange, crazy niches. And you know what? The internet lives on niches. You get the idea. So if you do a mind map, that might really help. But just come up with a ton of ideas. Iterate upon your ideas. And if you've got out of the habit of imagination, get back into it. Some people find it easier to crunch numbers. Some people are better with people. Some people are better with imagination. We all vary, but your business as a whole needs to have imagination. If you lack imagination, go talk to somebody with it, at least. Go and find the person. work. I mean, for me, you know, for example, podcasting produces quite a fruitful array of electronic type products. So I could sell something as simple as this arm here that is being used to support the microphone. I could sell microphones if I really want to go into electronics from China. I would advise against it, but I mean, it's possible. What else? I mean, I've got a tripod that this camera is resting on. I could probably even show you a shot of it if I take the camera off. Kind of weird, but here's the tripod. I've got lighting, very primitive lighting as it happens, but I could sell video lighting again if you're going to get into electronics. And by the way, you know, yes, it's easy to start dismissing things and go, oh, but electronics from China are bad. And don't dismiss anything at this point. Filter later, collect ideas first. Create ideas first, right? So just to reiterate how these things work, just to go back to our slide here. First of all, it's a divergent process. Start with one idea, like podcast, and then come up with as many ideas as possible. Do not filter at this stage. We will filter later, but don't filter via your own negative thinking. Filter by what the marketplace thinks. Okay, so filter by what actually sells, rather than what you think might sell. Yeah, don't chop yourself off at the knees with your own negative thinking. That is a terrible idea. It won't work. So work, for example, for me, podcasting is a massive one. I mean, really, that's huge. There's so much going on for me there. You know, there's tripods, which are physical things, which I'm sure you can improve on the design of. There's things that hold your thing up. There's even pop filters and things like that. There's lighting holders. And if I'm paranoid about electronics, probably rightly from China, then I could create something that holds electronics and is lighter than other stuff. There's tons I could do there. I mean, I'm passionate about it, so I'm interested, I'm engaged. For me, music was something else that I did, for example, and that was a huge area for a while that made me plenty of money, tens of thousands of dollars on Amazon in the US, probably more than tens now. So there's an idea, and that's just with yourself, right? I could come up with probably 200 product ideas from that, most of which would be crap, and that is fine. Forgive my French, but and forgive me, French people, for saying forgive my French. It's just an English saying. So look, don't filter early. Don't be prematurely practical. You don't know until you've looked at the numbers whether it's any good or not. Just write it down. If you're not very imaginative or you've run out of ideas, and just be, I'm not being rude. Some people aren't imaginative, but they're very analytical. You'll be happier in the next phase. Some people are more imaginative and less analytical. They'll be less happy looking at spreadsheets. We all have our comfort zones. Yes, you should focus on what you're good at, but your business as a whole has to have imagination. So if you don't have it, go get it from somebody else. And you may want to run things past a coach or somebody if you really have a lack of imagination. Talk to people like your partner. My partner, my wife, is obsessed with face creams and stuff. Now, you know, I have my reservations about doing that, but there are people that I know who are making a killing with that stuff. So face cream, she knows all about organically sourced face creams, the good stuff, the cheap stuff, the nasty stuff. She's obsessed with it as a hobby. Her work is also as a musician, so she does a lot of teaching, does a lot of playing. So she might find that things that help support your wrist, because she's had wrist issues that she's come back from her physiotherapist with, that might be something else, for example, medical type things. That's just a starting point. I mean, I could talk about my mother, who plays the cello. The music's a theme in my life. She's an amateur cellist, and my dad plays a viola. And, you know, that could be anything from how do you know, viola case that's really robust, to aches and pains caused by playing the viola, and sort of devices for helping your shoulder reset itself in the right posture or whatever. So there's tons and tons and tons of things that come out of talking to people and thinking. If you really lack imagination, you can just do a touch list, but that's more product centered. That's okay. Just go around your kitchen or your house. Great for kitchen or household items. You can do that. The bad thing about that is it's not really connected to a person. So it's rather impersonal. What you'll end up doing sometimes is just finding rather boring generic products that way. Hobbies are great, and unusual specific work is great, because it ends up being very, very specific and particular. And what you need to do next, of course, is find those hungry markets. Try and filter by a few questions. Is it a big pain or a big passion, right? I'm very into my podcasting, and it's also my part of my income, a big part of it now. So you know, that's an important thing. And if my microphone doesn't work, that's a big pain. So I want reliable equipment, so I'm prepared to pay for it. Are the people already paying money for solutions? Okay, and then that doesn't have to be on Amazon, though. Look around on Google, look in shops. Are the solutions already in the form of a physical product? Big clue, they don't have to be already. A lot of things these days come in both forms of a physical or a digital product. What's the difference? For example, I might use a metronome. Let me just grab one. I can show you what it is. Actually, my wife's metronome, so I better not mess it up. This is a thing that just beeps in time to tell musicians to play in time. And this one isn't working because it's run out of batteries. So instead of doing that, I might just use an app on my phone, which would be just as effective. So one is a physical product. One is a digital product. So this will just do a little click for me so I can check that I'm playing my scales in time or what have you, right? I've bought hundreds, not hundreds, but I've bought many of these things in my life, and I've bought physical metronomes. I've also used an app, and people have bought metronomes from me in the past as well on Amazon, one of the things I sold, right? So just because something exists as a physical product doesn't mean it can't be digitized, but the same is true the other way around. Don't assume if you've got a cool app on your phone that performs a certain function, you might create a dedicated device that could do that thing. And it's mostly going to be electronic. Not necessarily always. For example, I've got a measuring thing on my phone. I can actually measure. It's a very, very cool app, actually, on the latest iOS. I can measure things by my phone, which is really cool. But I could just get a damn tape measure out. And I guess what? I own both of those as well. So be imaginative. Are the solutions already in the form of a physical product? We could also add the question, could they be in the form of a physical product, right? Now, we're starting to cook with gas. We could go online but off Amazon in a particular niche, for example, rock climbing. That's a typical obsessive, passionate hobby. I know a guy down the road, extraordinary story, he's actually written a book about it. He's a blind man who does rock climbing as a hobby. Talk about risk. And he's very passionate. So, you know, there's always somebody around to talk to. I mean, there's literally one of my neighbors if I want to explore this precise topic, right? That's why it sprang to mind. Talk to real people. You can go online, non-social media. You could Google things. You could do a text search. You could do a reverse image search as well. You can look on forums. Reddit is really powerful. Subreddit's really cool for very obsessive markets. Do not go in there and spam people, folks. This is purely research. You need to learn about people. It's not a selling mechanism. You're educating yourself. Social media is massive. Pinterest, Instagram. Just so much stuff. There are so many places to get great product ideas, and they're great on paper, and then maybe a lot of them don't work on Amazon. That's fine. Come up with 100 ideas, filter them through Jungle Scout or Viral Launch, whatever your favorite tool is, and get one idea that is both interesting and imaginative. You understand the people, which is the critical bit, and you are also... then you've filtered it, so it's a really powerful idea to take through to the sourcing stage. So my passionate plea, my number one thing to say to anybody, if you're paying me, I'll say it the same thing, but I'll go into detail of exactly how that would apply to you. But also, if I'm telling you now for free in the podcast, lucky you, it's absolutely critical to start with the PAP, the person and the pain, or the person and the passion. Don't start on Amazon and don't start with products. Otherwise, A, you're doing the same thing everyone else is. B, it's all based on number crunching and computers and can do that. The Chinese factories can employ hundreds of people to do that. You'll never win that game. And if you're product-centered, not person-centered, you are playing on the same turf as the Chinese factories that know how to mass produce products. It's not a winnable game. Learn about people. Focus on people. Create products for people. Create a brand for people. You get in the idea. Did I mention people? Okay, you don't need to be a people person or touchy-feely. This is just business logic. In the modern Amazon environment, it's never been more critical. So this is why the very beginning of our niche module for how to find a market starts with the person and the pain. So that's what you should do too. If you like the flavor of what you're getting from the PLP course, by the way, this is an extract from it, or this is information basically from it, then go to amazingfba.com/PLP and you can find out all about it in great detail. If you want to get access to the contest, if you want to be entered for the contest, which is only available until midnight UK time on the 18th of November, 2018. So move fast if you don't want to miss out on that. You can get access to the PLP course for free, which is normally £395 or $500 plus an hour of mentoring with me, where we can go over your product ideas and we can look at your process or anything else you like, niche research, sourcing, launch plan. Those are normally things, or if you've already launched, making sense of the numbers. Those are the four basic areas. So it comes down to niche, source, launch, or learn. Those are the four areas that we would, one of those four areas we could work on. Thank you very much for listening. I'm enjoying the energy of doing this launch. I hope you enjoy the energy of these podcasts, and do check out the PLP course, even the sales page or the pre-sales page, I guess it is. So there's no big sales pitch on it. AmazingFBA.com/PLP is pretty informative, I think, of my philosophy, which I think is going to be the very least thought-provoking for you and helpful to get your feet on the ground of how to really succeed in this business in late 2018 and 2019 and beyond. And just to reiterate, if you're interested in entering the contest, amazingfba.com/contest. Thanks for listening. Mikey out. Hey there, folks. This episode is brought to you by the Private Label Process course created by yours truly, along with Rob Sleeth, my business partner, who's helped with a lot of things, but mostly the content, and Gary, who is our trusty VA. He's done tons of editing and everything else. So it's been a team effort and months of work. It's not based on just my personal experience, although it is. I am somebody who's been in the market in Amazon, as has Rob, for several years, but it is a culmination of years being in private groups of masterminds with serious sellers, people who are doing up to $1 million a month, not just a year, and also running the 10K collective mastermind and related masterminds of sellers, collectively doing probably of the order of £15 million a year. So I don't know what that is in dollars, $18 million to $20 million, something like that. So I've had the inside track on those businesses, hour after hour of intensive labor working on their problems and solutions. So this is a combination of all of that stuff, and we put it into a course that takes you A to Z, soup to nuts, zero to hero, from nothing, no knowledge, to launch with your first private label product, ideally within 6 months. Now, just a caveat, if you have a small child, a full-time job, and a property empire, that's probably going to take you a year. Let's be realistic here. We're into realism here, but it can definitely be done in 6 months if you're focused and do 20 to 30 hours a week on it and take it seriously. So the PLP course is in three phases, which is phase zero, where you learn the basics of Amazon with retail arbitrage, online arbitrage. It's not an online arbitrage focus course, but we give you the basics of that, enough for you to go away and do some more work on it should you choose. Phase one, find a generic product and get it out there. Phase two is private label product launch. And then the third phase is the analysis phase, where you stabilize and expand. So it's all done, 20 modules and hundreds of videos, but they're in bite-sized chunks, very actionable, very absorbable. I think it's great value. It's as complete, in my view, as courses out there that cost probably literally 9 or 10 times as much, which is kind of crazy, but certainly 5-6 times as much. So I think it's great value. If you want to check it out, go to amazingfba.com/PLP. But here's the great news. If you're listening to this before midnight on the 18th of November, and that's midnight GMT, that is Greenwich Mean Time, that is London, UK time, before that deadline, we have a contest, and this prize is very simple. You guessed it. It is access to the online video course. That is the Private Label Process, for free, for life, and plus an hour of mentoring with me as well, which is valued at £100 an hour, $130 an hour. So it's basically a value of about $600 and something, absolutely free to the lucky winner. To enter that, you just need to do the following. Number one, go to amazingfba.com/contest. That's amazing, F for Freddy, B for Bertie, A for Alpha.com/contest, C-O-N-T-E-S-T. And there you're just going to give your first name, your email, and just tell me what your biggest pain or the biggest barrier is to getting launched with a private label product. And it's very interesting to hear the responses. It's fascinating to me, so I can fine tune my training and help for people to know what that what that issue is. So it's going to be fascinating to share the results with you as well of that survey. So get yourself over there if you have any interest at all in it. You may as well get it for free. AmazingFBA.com/contest. contest, and that will be going away on midnight on the 18th of November. So move fast if you're interested. Thanks for listening. Now on with the show. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few. Then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.